Now, what was the idea behind handing out caps?
Probably two key reasons. One, I guess, from a memento sense, giving those who walked across the bridge something commemorative. In 1932, you were able to post postcards and letters from the bridge that were stamped. There were also certificates. We were looking for something, I guess, a little different. We handed out nearly 200,000 caps. The caps themselves were problematic and a challenge from the very beginning to the very bitter end, from the moment that they were thought of to designing them, the time frame we had. They came from China. There was no other option. We actually sent two people there, and in the space of 3 days, they went to meet with a manufacturer. It turned out they couldn't do it, had to find someone else, test samples, you name it. And, you know, we're expecting them to come back just before New Year with a cap and be able to say, well, this is what it's going to look like. But we weren't quite at that point yet. So it actually took to a few more weeks into January to get to that point, and to virtually the cutoff of knowing we had to go into production to get them on a ship to get them here in time. So extremely tenuous to get there, and then to actually get agreement as to how they would be handed out. There was quite a lot of nervousness from the RTA in particular that we were going to create real crowd problems.
Bill Lawson adds,
one of the most difficult things was actually addressing the issue of hat distributions. Naturally, the throughput of people on a bridge, if they're just going to walk and perhaps even look at the bridge, and that's what the day was about, there's a certain capacity of the bridge and a certain safe crowd size in terms of how they actually behave. Once you introduce a collection point, if you like, well, then, of course, discounts the throughput, and then we end up with perhaps even a queuing of people, which could lead to queuing back into the streets close to the stations where people are trying to get out of trains. That means people can't get off trains onto platforms. One thing leads to another. So I was a bit concerned about how the hat distribution was going to take place.
Dennis Wheeler elaborates.
We did a lot of modelling on distribution of hats. The City Rail timetable was actually operating at 12 trains per hour, which is one train every 5 minutes. And that's in both directions. So we're now talking potentially one train every 2.5 minutes with anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 people per train.
When you do the simple maths, it turned out the hats had to be handed out at the rate of 6 hats per second every second, which is, when you think about it, it's quite a feat, and you need many, many people to actually do that. They can't do it for 10 hours, so you've got to have rosters and you've got to have a number of people. But importantly, you've got to have the supply of hats nearby. And that's a concern as well, because how do you just keep up the supply of hats at that rate? The modellers that we had as consultants, and did a rather great job, let me say, they provided information on how a transaction would actually delay the queue. And then we knew from that particular modelling that having 4 lines of distributions wasn't going to satisfy the demand that we had at the rate we were delivering people. Then looked at some alternatives and came up with, instead of 4 transaction lines, making it into 7 transaction lines. And we felt more comfortable with that. That was probably going to be our best opportunity to actually satisfy the crowd.
So how do you look back at the hats episode? Do you think it was successful?
It was certainly successful. It did actually provide a great opportunity for people to collect a hat at the scene. They became part of the bridge family, if you like, by all putting on a hat. There was this great camaraderie of all people wearing a hat. They all looked great. They all had some other mission to be there about wearing the hat across the bridge. But the ones that did work the best, I think, were the ones, the night hats, that started to be handed out at 7 p.m. They had a light on them, and very, very effective, particularly as night fell. Twilight hours came and it was verging on dark, and all those little bobbing lights like glowworms were walking across the bridge. It was terrific. And interestingly, with hours, we're told, of when the bridge walk finished, that hats were being sold on eBay for those who didn't actually get a hat. So whether they made any money, I don't know.